So we continue to read from the Srimad Bhagavatam, first canto, chapter 1, entitled Genealogical Table of the Daughters of Manu. And we are 39. Kraturapi kriya bharya valikilyanna suyata reshinshasti sahasrani jalatu brahmati jasa. Kratu's wife, Kriya, gave birth to 60,000 great sages named the Valakilyas. All these sages were greatly advanced in spiritual knowledge, and their bodies were illuminated by such knowledge. Purport. Kriya was the sixth daughter of Kardama Muni, and she produced 60,000 sages who were known as the Valakilyas because they're all retired from family life as vanaprastas. So, what can we say? A different time. Somebody's already worried if he gets twins, what to speak of 60,000. It is an impressive number. And it just broadens our vision that the entire universal arrangement is not always as it is, as we know it. Right? But that there are times within the universe when things are very different and when human beings are much more powerful, times where the duration of life is much longer, times where somehow or other a mother can give birth to 60,000 great sages, times when there are mountains which are 80 kilometers high from which Krishna and Balaram jumped. Right? All these kind of extraordinary details of Srimad Bhagavatam are simply extending our horizons. Just as we know that in Kali Yuga everything shrinks, it is said that at the time of Krishna, all the personalities were much taller, an average of 5-6 meters tall. But then in this age everyone shrinks, so what to do? It is inconceivable to understand this point, but that is a fact actually. And why not? We are simply Dr. Frog, the one who knows his well and from that tries to measure the ocean. Right? That is all. So from our own limited perception of reality, we're trying to impose laws upon reality of what we know about reality. But there are many things that are going on by the arrangements of the Supreme Lord, which are beyond our perception. Therefore, there is no other reliable source of knowledge than Sabda Brahman, than transcendental sound vibration coming from the Supreme Lord, because only the Supreme Lord is actually all-knowing. Therefore, only the Supreme Lord is free from mistakes, and therefore only the Supreme Lord can actually present the truth as it is. Therefore, Dharmam tu saksat bhagavat pranitam, it is the Lord himself who is directly establishing religious principles, and it comes down from him in the cyclic succession. Great sages can, by hearing from the Lord, also realize that transcendental knowledge within the heart. Gradually, by associating with transcendental knowledge, one comes to the transcendental platform. Just as by associating with the material modes of nature, one attains the quality of that nature. Prabhupada says if we associate with the mode of ignorance, then we will get, sooner or later, we'll get animal birth or plant birth like that. It is interesting how he says if we associate with the mode of nature, rather than saying if we are in a particular mode of nature or are under the influence of a particular mode of nature. No, simply associating with the mode of nature, we actually will go down to the lower species if we associate with the mode of ignorance. And in the same way, if we associate with the mode of goodness, then our direction is upwards. And this word associate makes it very, very accessible, makes it a very conscious decision on our part. We simply have to decide which mode we will associate with. And this is indeed spiritual life. Of course, we cannot control the entire environment, and we have to unwillingly accept the lower modes of material nature. But within it, we must make a very conscious effort to associate with the mode of goodness. This is an important point. Here we see that Kratu's wife, Kriya, gave birth to 60,000 great sages who were all vanaprastas, as is explained in the purport. In other words, the vanaprasta is one who is preparing for the final moment. Grihastha is one who is trying to make arrangement for the present life, and within that, try and keep it as spiritually pure as he can. And if he does so, then he's also perfectly situated and can go straight back to Godhead from that Grihastha ashram. A vanaprastha, however, is not very concerned with the present life. Vanaprastha means now he's preparing to leave this world. Not that he will leave soon, it may take still a long time, but his main efforts are preparation for that. So it is a different meditation, vanaprastha. Vanaprastha means now not so concerned anymore with the worldly affairs, more concerned with the affairs of the spiritual realm. Anyway, transcendence goes beyond varna ashram. And transcendence means that even in old age, one can, for the sake of Krishna's mission in the material world, one can push around the material energy and stay very busy with it until the day one dies and never retreat in the forest. It is possible in transcendental life. Still, Varnashram is undoubtedly a very powerful it is a very powerful means to reform ourselves. It is amazing how great the power of Varna Ashram really is. Although it is not pure and spiritual, but taking shelter in a particular ashram has great effect in life. It can really benedict us in so many ways. So this is very... very nice. We are living in a time where everything is wrong. There's a time where it's a great struggle to create a proper atmosphere, not like the time that is now being described here in Srimad Bhagavatam. We are not always sages. Devotees are not always sages. Sages are in the mode of goodness. Sages are performing austerities. Sages, their main business is yajna dana tapascha. Their business is to engage in sacrifice, in austerity, to give in charity. They spend their life in always purifying themselves. But we are living in such a difficult time that we have to associate so much with the lower modes. And that is difficult. Sages are staying in places that are in the mode of goodness. We read in Vedic literature and repeat it in Bhagavatam that one should not live in places where the black deer is not present. Right? One should reside in such a place where there is the black deer in the forest. One should reside in such a place which is no further than 8 kilometers away from a river. Right? We're doing okay on that point here. At least, right. Maybe there are some deers in the zoo also. So possibly we could count Amsterdam in that category. Right? Although it may not, according to the letter of the law, it may be so, but not according to the spirit of the injunction. Sages were residing in in a condition of the mode of goodness. They would create nice hermitages with nice gardens and so on, nice environment, so that everything was favorable for remembering the Supreme Lord, and everything was favorable for controlling the senses and the mind. So atmosphere is important. But in this age, so many things are wrong. We are therefore not always able to get the right environment. But it doesn't matter, because even if the environment is wrong, the holy name is always powerful, always more powerful. So simply, if everything is wrong, some people are very concerned about Vastu, right? About this is now become a major fashion around our movement, that Vastu must be right. But we're seeing that Srila Prabhupada was not very concerned about Vastu. In Mayapur, which is in India, a place where you could build, according to Vastu, Prabhupada didn't worry about it. Prabhupada just built a building and a guest house and put the deities in there on the ground floor. And he used the space above in the building. And if you look where the deities originally were, then on the first floor there's a kitchen, but above there are bathrooms. Right? So how could there possibly be bathrooms above the deity? Is there anything more serious than that? I don't think so. So it is very clear that Prabhupada did not consider Vastu so important. Because not that it has no effect, it does. But the chanting of the holy name is so auspicious and so powerful that it can immediately correct anything that is wrong in Vastu. Right? Or Vastu means Vedic architecture and certain rules that are describing how a building should be built. Certain locations in the building are used for certain purposes. There's a place for fire, a place for water, a place for worship, and so on. Everything has its location, and it cannot just be placed in the wrong place. So whatever may be, the point is that the holy name and devotional service are so extraordinarily powerful that it can totally counterbalance any inauspiciousness. And there is no doubt about that. So this is our primary occupation, to engage in devotional service, to engage in chanting. And even the most inauspicious place can be transformed into Vaikuntha. Otherwise, I'm distracted. That's okay. Anyhow, any place can be transformed by Kunta. Very well. Simply by devotional service. Conclusion, topic closed, next topic. So, it is said that the sages, they were performing the principles of Varna Ashram, and they were situated in the mode of goodness. Their bodies were illuminated by being advanced in spiritual knowledge. Still, nonetheless, not necessarily, like I pointed it out yesterday, of the quality that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu revealed, because it was extraordinary. So the high quality of knowledge that we have in our movement is extraordinary. And this movement is totally on the transcendental platform. There is no question that it is involved with the modes of material nature. The modes of material nature are certainly within this movement, but always in connection with devotional service, because the whole movement is based on devotional service. So, in this way, we may see that in our movement, transcendence is not always happening in the mode of goodness. Right? We may not always have an environment of the mode of goodness for performing our transcendental activity. In fact, mostly not. Right? Sometimes, unfortunately. But this mode of goodness is so beneficial. It is so nice. It makes spiritual life so much better. So it is very important if we could have it and if we could try for it. And that means, though, that we have to really make an endeavor to associate with it. Right? Whether we are in the mode of goodness by nature, we should create anything we associate with, we should try and do that in the mode of goodness. And the temple should be the place of the mode of goodness for people who are able to do so. And otherwise, one should find a private situation for practicing his spiritual life. Because we must protect the sanctity of the temple. It's very important. Because ultimately, the temples are there to purify the general mass of people. Krishna consciousness will certainly spread to the general mass of people. But the temple is meant to always revive the spirituality of the general mass of people. Therefore, the temple, there's a great responsibility of the temple. The temple is a lot more than just a place for us where we are going to develop our spiritual life. The temple is actually the place from where pure Krishna consciousness, unadulterated Krishna consciousness is meant to emanate, nothing else, to the world. So the temple has a great mission, and we cannot, for the sake of taking shelter of the temple, compromise the mission of the temple. The mission of the temple is more important, right? And therefore we are strict about the standards in the temple. Not as a form of harassment, but as a form of the need to have a very high quality spiritual atmosphere, predominated by the mode of goodness, from where transcendental knowledge can be disseminated without any obstruction. Because whenever the mode of passion is there, although we are in a transcendental process, in a transcendental situation, if an individual gets influenced by the mode of passion, it can obscure spiritual knowledge, which is very unfortunate. This is a disservice. So Srimad Bhagavatam is giving some description of personalities who were very exalted. So there's no doubt we should actually be sages, if possible. If possible, we should be sages, kind, gentle, tolerant, and so on. It's not easy to be such a person. So what can we do? So failing in this regards, we are nonetheless taking shelter of the process of chanting the holy name and the process of devotional service, which gives us the opportunity to come forward. So here in these verses, we're seeing that several sages are appearing, but yet many of these sages are also getting married. They are grihasthas, they're having children. So when one hears of sage, one may kind of think of like a very renounced person with a very long beard, kind of residing in the forest, being very old and very wise. And it's sometimes difficult to imagine such a sage being married and being still bona fide and in good standing. But here we're seeing that the sages are getting married and are getting competent sons and so on. And obviously, the sages are not always waiting until they're old men. So they're also young sages, in other words. It is not that all the sages are elderly and very wise due to a long lifetime of experience, but that some are young and sages, that they're young and having wisdom, right, already accrued from associating with the mode of material, with the mode of goodness in previous lives. So we should be young sages, because most of us are not so old. So let us be then young sages. But let us try for this purpose. Ultimately, we need a strong core of such devotees who are able to pass on transcendental knowledge and who are able to create faith. Because the mode of goodness creates faith. Because in the mode of goodness, a person is fair, a person is balanced, a person is honest, a person is wise. So always has deep and relevant advice to give in the mode of goodness. Thoughtful and balanced. So the mode of goodness creates faith. The mode of passion is cutting. And so that is painful and therefore causes sometimes upsets a person and doesn't always help to establish faith. So what can be said? We must somehow or other try and cultivate this mode. Yet sometimes we are also transcendental to the mode of goodness. There was one devotee who was just too much in the mode of goodness, and he was appointed to make sure that the Mahaprasadam was being saved and that everyone and that it was properly distributed. But he could not do it because the devotees were too strong and they would just say, "Get out of my way." "But Prabhu, this is not proper. Anyway, move over." Right? And he was too much in the mode of goodness to deal, but you know, this is not Vaishnav behavior. It's Mahaprasadam. There are no heart of it. You can steal. So everyone had a great time. At least some of them had a great time and many did not get. So he was too much in the mode of goodness for the service. I many times told him, "You are too much in the mode of goodness." You know, now he's a sannyasi. I'm sure he's still very much in the mode of goodness. But for a sannyasi, that is more suitable. So that is nice. So in a transcendental movement, we can engage different modes, and in a mission of pushing on Krishna consciousness, sometimes the situation is not so mode of goodness. When we are passionately loading Sankirtan vans and passionately distributing, it may not always be possible to do it totally in the mode of goodness. So when we are running a preaching center in the middle in Amsterdam, it may also be a battle, right, to have it always in the mode of goodness. I don't think it's going to be easy to have a place which is totally in the mode of goodness. As we were reading, that this material world is like hard wood, right? There's soft wood and hard wood, like teak. Teak is hard wood. Right? So it said, to carve from hard wood is difficult. Right? That's more difficult than to carve from soft wood. Yeah. So Prabhupada said, so Krishna consciousness is just like carving from hard wood. The material energy is like hardwood, and we have to carve Krishna from it. Right? So this is a struggle to have Krishna consciousness. It is a struggle. So it may remain a constant struggle. It is a constant struggle with the lower material nature. But by constantly again putting that energy, it will go on. So it may not be that at one point after hard work one can say, we've done it. Now everything is in the mode of goodness. Jai, at last, we've succeeded. No, unfortunately, it is not like that, right? One has to go on keeping the situation in the mode of goodness. And then it slips out of the mode of goodness again, and then one has to, with endeavor, struggle again to put it back again, and again, and again, and again. And this is actually the ongoing struggle and battle, right? We think that, well, you know, okay, it's going to be a big job, and then it's done. Then everything is in the mode of goodness. But it doesn't work like that. So within the material world, the struggle is an ongoing thing. Prakriti stani kersati. The struggle with the material energy is not over from the moment that we take up spiritual life. The struggle continues. There are different people who join this movement for different motivation. It is explained there, Chatur Vida Bhajante Mam. There are four types of people who are joining this movement. Those who are looking for wealth, those who are trying to avoid material distress, those who are curious, and those who are actually interested in transcendental knowledge. So nobody in this age would have come without material distress. Right? All of us have come because material life didn't work. If it would have worked really well, we would have said, well, you know, it's a nice movement, this Hare Krishna movement. It's quite okay. And I like to go there sometimes to the restaurant and so on, or to the Sunday feast. But, you know, I have my own life. Yeah, he would have said, but because our own life didn't work, because it really there was too much distress, in some cases the distress may not have been acute distress. In some cases the distress may have been very acute, and in other cases the distress may have just been the distress of emptiness, the distress of life being meaningless. Right. That's another form of distress. But it has been distress that has driven us to Krishna consciousness. So, of course it may be a mixture of experiencing some distress, of some interest in transcendental knowledge and so on. Yeah. But if one is purely coming to this movement, with the desire to avoid, distress, then one could so easily develop the mentality of an escapist, right? Of one who is trying to escape from the heaviness of the material world. But this is not acceptable. This is not Krishna consciousness. All of us thought a bit like that. I thought like that. Now I'm going to join the temple. Now, from now on, life will become very simple. There's many things I don't have to worry about anymore. And I joined, but very soon they pushed me back out to deal with the material energy, right, and struggle, and even more than I'd ever done before. This was like way beyond what I had ever imagined that I would have done in my material life. They forced me to do in this movement. I was just amazed, right, and that I did it all. And in the course of it, because it was so passionate dealing with the material energy, it made me passionate also. Right? Something in myself that I didn't necessarily like and that I didn't necessarily wanted to cultivate. In my material life, I saw that this side in myself I should not cultivate. I should just let that rest. But then when I joined, no, they wanted me for different qualities than for which I joined. I joined for qualities of more, I saw myself more as some sort of aspiring sage, right? And I wanted to develop these qualities, right, of saintliness and wisdom and philosophy and speak about these matters and have deep exchanges. And I thought, yes, these are the qualities that fit really well. And for that, I really fit in this movement. But they had a whole different idea how I fit. They thought that I fit very well to get things done, to organize different things and to get them done, which was not at all what was on my mind. I wasn't very interested in getting things done, right? But the Hare Krishna movement had quite an agenda, right? As I found out, right? Not only a philosophy, but an agenda, right? A mission. And I'd never really thought too much about that mission. I thought about the philosophy, but the mission was not on my mind. Right? But gradually, yes, they engaged me within the mission. And with time, I began to see that actually the mission was essential. Because Cheto Darpanam Marjanam Bhavamaha Davakni Nirvapanam Sayav Kairavan Chandrika Vitaranam Vidavadu Jivanam Anandam Budivardanam Pratipadam Punam Ritasvadanam Sarvatma Snapanam Param Vijayate Sri Krishna Sankirtanam, that this process of Sankirtan, of chanting the holy name which cleanses the heart of all living beings, that this is the life of all transcendental knowledge. And therefore, in order to give life to the philosophy, Sankirtan was required, the mission was required. In order to actually involve the heart, that was required. Otherwise, it could not be done. So, in this way, my vision of what was important in spiritual life had to be adjusted. Of course, with time, one may be able to dedicate more of his energy to preaching. And any devotee who can actually dedicate himself to the philosophy, to studying the philosophy and preaching the philosophy, will have the nicest spiritual life, right? Because dealing with the material energy is always painful. Material energy, sooner or later, is going to give us trouble. That is, it's been designed for that, right? And especially in the age of Kali, it is programmed to give a lot of trouble. So therefore, dealing with the material energy is difficult. But it's not necessarily the way to make the most advancement to avoid dealing with the material energy. It is our duty to deal with the material energy and to push on for the sake of preaching. So we even have to sacrifice in Krishna consciousness our desire to be in the mode of goodness for the sake of pushing on the mission. Right? But as much as possible, wherever the mission is allowing it, we will try and create the mode of goodness. And there is a limit, even for the sake of the mission. We cannot go too far. It is obvious here in Amsterdam, there are certain people we cannot let them in, right? Because we know once we start let them in, then the lower modes will really take over. Right? I mean, they deserve the mercy, but we cannot let them stay. There's no way. So many bums here in this city. So in that way, one must keep a balance. We need to introduce circumstances of the mode of goodness so that we can associate with that. And there is no reason to ever give up the mode of goodness other than for spreading Krishna consciousness. That's the only exception that can be made. Otherwise, There is no excuse. No excuse. There must be the mode of goodness. So that means cleanliness. Constant cleanliness. Constant cleaning. Right? It begins from one's very own body to the immediate paraphernalia that one uses. Clean clothes, clean bed, clean room, clean things that are used, right? And then it expands into a clean temple, into what is the point of having a very clean temple and having a total chaotic ashram, right? And then it doesn't work. It doesn't work. Because then one's consciousness is actually not coming in the right consciousness. And the result will be that we will remain under the influence of passion and ignorance, and our association will be like that. So we must be careful what mode of material nature we associate with. I just heard that because I was listening to a lot of lectures yesterday, all day while I was doing things. I had lectures on and I didn't hear everything, but I heard fragments, and at one point I heard this sentence very clear about associating with the mode of ignorance and then taking the body of a tree or an animal. And I liked it, this point of associating, because this is... This makes the whole development of the modes of material nature something that is in our hands and not something, well, you know, the workings of the modes of material nature, and I'm really trying, you know, to come to the mode of goodness, but it's difficult because passion and ignorance are also having its influence, and, you know, I'm just riding on the waves and like that. No, it's just the injunction is being on the under the influence of the modes of material nature, not just riding on the waves, but rather simply making arrangements to associate with the mode of goodness. This is very nice. Okay, I'm going to ask for questions. So, anyone?
Can we presume that if you go out of reach, then it's then it's okay, then you have to associate with
it. Right.
But do you still get influenced by it?
You may, yeah. So therefore you have to, then you have to wash your hands according to the mode of goodness. Yeah. Otherwise, you're sitting there in the mode of ignorance. If we, in preaching, we are associating with the lower mode. Are we becoming contaminated? Well, for that purpose, we must have then a very strong program to counterbalance it. So if we have a very strong private atmosphere in the mode of goodness, and we have a very strong transcendental association by good chanting and good hearing, then we have some energy to counterbalance it. But we experience it, just like when I was the temple president in Vrindavan, and I was on this program for a while of rising very early. Okay, 2 o'clock rise, you know, like chant all the rounds, or almost all the rounds before Mangal Aarti, and then read, you know, then darshan, then class, you know. So by the time it was breakfast, I was just like surcharged with spiritual energy, like, right? And then take some Mahaprasadam, only Mahaprasadam. And by 9:30, the office would open, and I was totally transcendental. So for the first few hours, nothing would really touch me, right? People would come with their problems. And like, yes, okay, understand. For a while I was transcendental. But then as the morning was moving along, gradually it was getting to me, right? Gradually, just the whole morning of like heavy modes, right? Because in a big temple like that, When a problem comes finally to the temple president, then usually it has already become such a complex thing, right, that nobody can really fix it anymore. And then, because they've already tried to fix it everywhere else, so by the time it comes to you, it's such a mess, you know. You're looking at, oh my God, you know. Oh. What? This is a trip. And it goes on like that the whole morning. So after a while, by 11 o'clock, you could feel like, By one o'clock, you feel like, oh boy, you know, I'm finished, I'm dead, right? Maybe I should just close the office now. Things like that. Right? Act as if I'm not there. Right? And perform all the tricks to create the impression that you're out. Right? It's a whole repertoire. You know, it's like, I could write a book with all the tricks. Handbook for Temple President. It's like one chapter dedicated with all the tricks to make it appear that you're not there, huh? While you're hiding, reading, and chanting. It's a nice one. Another one is how to not pay bills, right? And how to get rid of people. Like, I mean, you get lots of excuses for this. Many. Yes. How to, anyway. Like that. Could write a book, I guess. Probably never do. But you get the point, though, that we feel it. You feel it. You must feel it yourself. You know, like that somewhere you are inspired by hearing and chanting, and then you go to Jetronics, and after a few hours in Jetronics, it begins to drain. Yeah? It begins to drain. Afterward.
That's for you, Jetronics.
Yeah, it's intense. It's very intense. So therefore, if we can, the more we can create a situation of the mode of goodness and transcendence in our private sphere, the more energy we will have to counterbalance it. That will help. And it is a struggle, because the lower modes are always waiting to just disturb the fun. Yeah, that's their business. Just barge in your door, you know.
You have to deal with this right now.
I guess we're not going to entertain it. Anybody else? Yes.
I had something very nice yesterday evening. I was going home with Ashe by tram. It was already 9:30. Yesterday the tram and the people around the water were so busy and still going shopping and so on. And suddenly I asked her, do you like Amsterdam? Do you like to live in Amsterdam? And she said, I'm living here since 14 years now, and I always hated Amsterdam. I did not like it at all. But now, I'm going to the temple every day. It doesn't matter. It doesn't touch me anymore.
Yeah, that's nice. Yeah. And then after a while, we feel, I'm going to the temple, but still, it's not completely enough. And then we have to do something more. And then after a while, even while we're doing something more, chanting and hearing, and after a while, we feel that's not enough. And then we have to do more chanting and hearing, and more and more. And then we have to still become more and more absorbed. Right? And then we feel like, you know, unless I get absorbed in this Krishna consciousness 24 hours a day, it's not going to work. I'll have to really, like, forget everything else, because otherwise I just won't be able to stay on the transcendental platform. So it's always increasing like that. Any sages?
Any questions?
Like Chaitanya looks like a sage. Deep. Yeah. Okay. Go on.
Your comments on past 2 hours.
So can we probably say that we can use that, because Prabhupada also said that Shandrava will establish 50% of my work.
We can use Vastu. Nothing against Vastu. Let us use Vastu where it's practical and where it's realistic. But we're not, just because the kitchen, right, is in the wrong place, we're not going to break this kitchen and just move the whole temple room over and put the kitchen on the other side where it's supposed to be according to Vastu. Things like that, you know, which are going on, right? We're not going to build a wall 1 meter away from the temple entrance in front of the window, right? Although, and it must be high enough so no one can look over it, because the plot is wrong and we have to adjust it according to Vastu. And we put a wall 2 meters away from the window so nobody can look out anymore. But it's very good Vastu, right? And now everything will be alright because of Vastu. So, where it is feasible, why not? But one should understand that the adjustments of Vastu may be nice, but if we chant Hare Krishna, that is a million times more important. So we cannot spend too much time with this Vastu business because we're too busy chanting Hare Krishna. So if somebody comes and say, are we going to adjust the Vastu? And you say, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Yam, Nam, Nam, Nam. Yes, let's talk about it. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Rama, Nam. After I finish my rounds, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Rama, Nam, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Hare. Madhu, any comments? No. Madhu is overwhelmed. All right, so I think that our individual spiritual life requires a special endeavor to make it work. Yeah? It's just not... It's just not a matter of adjusting the situation until you are kind of situated nicely, you know, and then it's a matter of keeping status quo. Right? So, you know, okay, you have to join, you have to avoid certain things, and then keeping status quo and everything will be all right. I don't think it's like that at all. I think it's going to be a special endeavor for everyone to somehow or other make it work, and then it's hard to make it work, and then I don't think anyone is exempt from that. Right? I don't think there's anyone who can just automatically expect that it's just going to be so easy. I think everyone has a struggle to perform, to make it in Krishna consciousness, and therefore I think also that the Amsterdam temple is not like any other temple. No temple in this movement is automatically going to be a flourishing temple. It's not that coincidentally, you know, things start to really take off. I think it will only happen if we make a very special endeavor to make it very nice and attractive. Like last night, I spoke about creative solutions. Right? I spoke about the Prabhupada pillar and the Prabhupada festival, and overnight, you know, I got more and more inspiration about this Prabhupada pillar, and I could already like really make something out of it, you know, like it's like decorated, like to get everyone to decorate it, make an amazing Prabhupada festival. You can make it the tree. You can decorate it with stones, you know, so it glitters, and so many things can be done. There's no end to what can be done. The question is, it's a struggle to do all these things. So it is that kind of struggle that, in that struggle, people recognize the bhakti. And it is that struggle which melts the heart of people. And it is that struggle which just is infectious, right? If we just make a struggle to do something far out, people can see it's far out, and immediately they become enthusiastic. Wow. And they want to be part of it. And it brings out the devotee, and it brings life, and it brings people that come forward. There is no, otherwise, you know, there's no technique to preach, you know. What do you preach? What arguments do you use? You know, preach, preach, preach. And why don't people join? Yeah, ultimately, we have to be so, there has to be so much enthusiasm to do nice things in the temple. It is that that makes people join. Not some argument or not some, you know, like far out philosophy. Can be also far out philosophy. Someone who's with a lot of enthusiasm really studied the scriptures and then delivers it in a lecture, obviously can also be recognized. So there are different things can be done. But it is the success collectively, the success of our temple, our collective success and our individual success simply depends on our enthusiasm to make extraordinary endeavor, to do something really far out. And that will do the job in our own lives and in Krishna consciousness and in preaching. And one will enhance the other. I think that's... anyway, that's what I think. And with that, I'm... going to close the book and get ready to go to the airport, and I'll be back here in about a week's time on the 4th of February at 3:10 in the afternoon. Okay, so thank you very much for your association and for being here in the temple met een nieuw jassie aan, zegt Maru. De tempel heeft een nieuw jassie. So let's see what that does. It's nice jassie. Ik heb ook een nieuw jassie. Thank you very much. Shri Prabhupada ki jai.